Okay, so we've come back from the break, yay. And I thought we could talk about what that was like for you to go through those different kinds of creating a positive experience. They're listed on the handout, okay? And as I said in passing, those different ways to help the knowing of a good fact to become an experiencing of a good fact, I'll create into a handout and I'll include that in a thing you'll get. Okay, so how was that for you? What did you observe when you worked with those four different ways to activate a positive state? Yeah, Jocelyn.
I was talking with Priscilla during the break, and one of the things that we came to in speaking was that in allowing in the good for ourselves, a natural extension of that might also be wishing the good, desiring that the good be extended to others.
Right. Yeah. Beautiful. Great. So far, I have 10 ways to activate a positive experience, and I'm probably going to have to add some. So, but I'll think about that as one to add, wishing the good for others. Yeah, that's a way to activate a positive experience that's categorically distinct. Thank you. Great. Yeah.
I'm wondering if, so I found again, I just talked to Bill, but I found again that your instructions were getting in the way of the total activation in each stage, and there was a need in me to want to take it slower in order to kind of concentrate on each stage. Would that be typical?
By my, you mean the verbal prompts, the pointing
Yes,
out?
yes. Yeah.
They were in your way? You mean as you weren't able to do it while you were listening to me?
Yeah, kind
Yeah,
of, yeah.
that's totally understandable. And as a teacher, then I have a tough choice, right?
Yeah.
Do I
Well,
give the,
I know you
do
have to
I,
do it here, but I just
oh, in general, exactly right. Once you know how to do it, take off the training wheels. You don't need my voice in your ear. You know the, right? You can fly the plane yourself. Okay, great. There you are. But it's totally true. No, I prefer myself, as you know, minimal guided instructions. On the other hand, there's a diversity of people, and yeah. But once you have the guiding, I'm quiet, and you're on your own. All right, great.
One of the things that I observe that can interfere in selecting one is there's a little judgment voice that comes.
Yeah.
You're happy enough, or whatever that voice is. And when I was aware of the voice, this time particularly, it was much easier for me to let go, and then whatever, which one, the one that resonated with me, it was okay. I guess part of
Yeah.
that's grasping.
Yeah.
There might be something better.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And but the judging, not judging my ability to go to new stimuli was helpful. I let go of the judgment.
Yeah.
Oh, no, not, and you did
No, it's
no,
good.
I tried it and it worked for me.
Okay.
In
Good.
other words, if you were more involved.
Yeah, that's great. No, it's good. It worked. It was good. Okay, keeping it to your experience. All right. Yeah, Julie.
Yeah, as a beginner, I found the verbal prompts very helpful because I tend to get lost in pure silence.
Yeah.
I'm not evolved.
Well, no,
So.
it's not about evolved, but yeah.
So the training wheels work for me.
Yeah, no, it's a pointing out. So let's go through them. How about the first one? Finding the situation, using your current situation, in this case, this one, as an opportunity to feel good. How did that go for you? What'd you notice about that? What'd you find in this situation? What were some of the things you found? Yep, Annette?
To be grateful to be here as a single mom with teenagers at home and learning from sharing experiences with other people.
Great. Fantastic. Other people, what'd you
As you
use?
went through your prompts on that one, I found each one of them very validating of my own inclination. I love all of you.
Yeah.
We're together, and it feels really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. How about other things you found in this situation?
Well, I just sort of, I feel youthful because it reminds me of being in college. You're in
All right.
this place with all these wonderful people,
Right.
and you're learning, and
Right.
you're
That's right.
vertically integrated because it's not just academic. So it's all good.
That's great.
Yeah.
Maybe another one or two.
You're sitting next to the teacher.
That's right, which is a blessing and a curse. All right, other things, Lily?
I think this is really important. I feel mirthful. I feel, you make me laugh. But, I mean, laughter is such a deep place for joy. I mean,
that's right. Finding the humor in a situation.
Yeah, it's just good. The deepest place of joy. You know, and the musical experience I was talking about earlier, that's the same thing. We sing, but we laugh, and then we sing, and then we laugh, and then we sing, because the conductor is so funny. And the laughter, when you laugh, and we laugh with people, I just think that's the highest form of joy that I know.
Yeah, that's great.
That's strong.
All right. One more about this situation. All right, two more. All right. I'm not then Kathy,
you're,
then
you're,
next.
You're
greedy. Well, no, I'm generous. Actually, I'd like to move on, but anyway, in terms of my greed, go on.
Well, for me, what was, you know, I was following the different prompts, and then I sank into, I found myself, and what I found, the experience of myself was kind of remembering the wonderful sensations in the moment that I used to have as a child, the smell of the pines and the, and it, I liked it so much that I stayed with that for quite a while.
Uh-huh.
And again, thought in terms of this course, how going to therapy, of course, I remembered a whole lot of bad experiences in my childhood, and here I'm sitting and I'm remembering, there were a lot of good moments there.
Yeah, that's great. Great. That's great. Good. All right, Kathy, last one.
I was just listening to your voices. I find very soothing, so just kind of being lulled along into that, so that I like the words too, but that.
That's right. My voice is part of the situation, in a sense.
That it really just, I don't know the words.
Yeah, great. How about current events? Or recent events, the second prompt. How was that for you? What'd you come up with, or what'd you notice about that?
A lot of, what's the adjective? I don't know, but I love where I live. So just a lot of gratitude and happiness about that.
Yeah.
Waking up and hearing the birds sing in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I have a tendency to wake up feeling anxious.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of external things going on in life.
Yeah.
But how I transition at, how I let go of that is just tuning into what's happening in the moment, where I can hear the birds singing and I can hear the ocean where I live. So kind of tuning into that.
Great.
And remembering that, calling that forward.
That's great.
Really wonderful.
Yeah. Technically, I would call that a little more into the category of conditions, because it's more ongoing. But it starts, you know, a long event becomes a short condition. So, but just to distinguish those, not a deal.
Oh, I know. I'm actually confusing them. My current or recent event was I just came back from a 4-day trip with my mother. We went to Ashland for 4 days, and we spent a lot of time sitting because we went to plays and stuff. And so we Googled and found the public pool in Ashland, and we went swimming because I'm a swimmer. So we went swimming, and the pool in Ashland is, it was hot, and it's outdoors.
Yeah.
So we both swam, and then we sat on the lawn and just looked out over the hills, and the sun was shining, and we were having a great time together, mother and daughter.
Yeah, okay. Like, is that a good example or what?
All
right.
And we both acknowledged it to each other, like, oh, this is really wonderful.
That's great. Going to Daniel's point last week about the importance of sharing a positive experience with others.
Yeah.
Great.
I'm there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's really nice.
Anybody, one more example about current events, and then we'll maybe move on. Daniel?
I was just thinking about a couple things. One, some clarity about my work, and two, is some connections with people.
Mm.
I think if I may just say one other thing related, that I'm kind of in a dark mood right now, basically. Mm. Just some stuff with my family of origin, my brother and sister, who are people I would never have in my life, but they are.
Yeah.
Noticed my own challenge about focusing on the positive, even though I have so many positive things in my life, when my mood is just feels dark.
Yeah.
And so I'm just, you know, I'm curious about
Yeah.
Psyche.
Yeah. Mm. I think that'll be a very important ongoing thing. And as foundation, of course, it's to be authentic with ourselves, to acknowledge where we are, the dark mood, the dark state, or of pain in the body, or just a nagging worry. I got a letter from the IRS yesterday now about my 2010 tax return. It appears that it's all going to be okay, but it's kind of like having the mafia knock on your door. You might be able to resolve the problem, but it's bad that they knocked on your door, you know what I mean? So it might be some nagging thing, which is, I know, which in my case is trivial compared to I know what you're dealing with, Daniel. And so authenticity, another key is accepting. Acceptance. Even as we are being active in the mind, it's very important to balance that with accepting, with being with what's there, with accepting what's true. Even as we actively look for positive conditions or facts, we accept as well. We include in awareness the ones that are not so positive. You know, that's foundational as well. This is not looking at the world through rose-colored glasses. And then what's interesting is, I think myself, number one, off stage, we build up positive qualities so that the negative events have less and less impact on us. On stage, when they're here and we're in it, it's alive and real, we're in it. There's really an art we find increasingly where we be with what's there and we open to it. And then there's a kind of, I call it the Goldilocks moment, where we've been with it long enough, we've explored it, we've experienced the experience, we've felt the feelings, And it feels like there's an opportunity to just gently nudge the negative mind state on its way out of town, you know, gently. And there's that. And sometimes when you think you've got the Goldilocks moment and you try to nudge it and it won't budge, you're not yet at the Goldilocks moment, you know. And then other times you sometimes realize when you nudge it, it just pops like a bubble and you realize, you know, I lived through 1, 2, 3, 4 days of needless suffering. I could have, that Goldilocks moment was back up the road, and I crossed it, and I didn't realize it, you know. And then so we find that Goldilocks point, and often it's in a series of cycles. We nudge it, and a little bit leaves, and then an hour or a day or a week later, we nudge it again, and more leaves, maybe that. And then there's also sometimes an opening of, in the space created by the nudging away, the clearing, the releasing, we then have room to replace it with something a little more positive. And then again, there's skillfulness about doing that in a way that's gentle and not denying of the negative. You know, so to me, that's an ongoing process that we get better and better at. So, thanks. Okay, then the third, if I could move on, is that all right? The third one, just
may
to...
May I come forward with something here? I really want to get this out. I have lost... some people, it happens, and we're about to lose another one, and it's within a day.
Yeah.
And I want to say that this hasn't wiped me out. I don't understand that because it's not in our culture here where I live not to be devastated by deaths of close friends and relatives. But, and it's almost an admonition that we be knocked out by these events.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had that experience. And I've actually puzzled about my own experience. This is very current with me the last few days and now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying that. And I do attribute it to having listened to you for about 4 years. Honestly, it's very effective, very beneficial. Not just you.
Yeah. It's a stream. It's a stream of teaching. You've been working with it too, Bill. You've been working with it. That's what's really central.
It was sounding so good.
What prompted me to push it forward is Daniel and then your response to Daniel.
Yeah.
And it's very current with me.
Yeah.
And a little bit, frankly, bewildering.
Yeah.
Am I not being authentic with myself? Am I in... a denial. I actually don't think so.
Yeah, I think you can.
But I'm not absolutely.
You can tune in and am I open? Am I receptive? Am I willing to feel? And if the answers are yes, there's not a reactivity. No, my mother died about seven years ago, and it wasn't sudden. So she had the last 18 months of her life were probably about close to first place for the best year and a half of her life, you know, which is really interesting, other than about six really bad days, died of lung cancer. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't upset when she passed away. I was, because I felt I was deeply moved, but I wasn't upset. And that's a distinction, because I'd gotten ready for it and reflected on it and practiced around it and so forth. Well, thank you for sharing that. Yeah. If it's okay to keep going, conditions. So now, conditions in your life, ongoing opportunities for a good experience. What were some of the things that you reached for? Or you found or thought about?
Wonderful home, wonderful family, great relationships, good clients.
Mm-hmm. Great. Other conditions? Julie.
I'm the oldest of six siblings, and even though they're not people I would choose to be close to with a real heart connection, they are good people.
Yeah.
I like them. I'm very grateful. We all get along. We all speak to each other. And when I hear something like Daniel and that heaviness in his heart, I'm very grateful for the family that I have and the cordial relationships that we do have.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. For me, and you know, thinking about what Bill just said there too, there's something poignant and beautiful that we love people so much that were hit hard when they pass, when they die, when they're not here anymore, you know? And so that's also available in a sense as a condition in our life, that there are people we love or that there is love altogether. So, anyway. Any other conditions? I, myself, science geek that I am, I tend to go to quirky things, you know, like flip a switch, electricity comes on, like how cool is that, you know? Any other, maybe a funny condition you thought about that just makes you feel good every time you think about it?
I have one. That people get in these little metal boxes and they find out that they wind up in a different place. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty far out.
Cars, I'm talking about.
Cars.
It's a different way of looking at
people are
traveling in a car. It's funny. People get in these little boxes, and they wind up thinking they're in different places. Actually, they are.
Okay, bye.
All right, Bev.
That is so good, talking about cars and bringing a whole transition and bringing something good out of it. I didn't have a car on Saturday. I didn't have a car for several days. And I got playing with this idea of the car. I had choices. I could be this poor victim, me, person, and call all my friends and say, I don't have a car and I don't have transportation, and what'll I do, because we're so used to getting into that little piece of metal and it's so important to us. So I decided I'm resourceful. I had the best day. I didn't have a car. That meant, what are you gonna do? Have to get into that little box and go from here to there. I walked, I played music. I played music from way back, rock and roll, all the way back to the 60s. It made me dance. I didn't tell anybody that I was stranded, because I wasn't. I walked to get something to eat. I had food in the refrigerator, but it was sort of like, what do you do when you don't have a car? You walk and you get there and you go, oh my good grief, my legs get me where I want to go. It doesn't have to be four wheels. I played with it all day long.
That's
and then
great.
The next day I called him and said, hey, can I borrow your car?
All right.
But for a day,
that's great.
Such an experience. Yeah.
That's
so
great.
I don't take for granted cars on the other end. I really find that I'm resourceful, y'all.
That's fantastic. Hey, I'll leave you with one last one that, again, is available all the time. Take a breath. Right there. It's a condition, but guess what you're breathing? Oxygen. Where does oxygen come from? Oxygen is stardust. oxygen, literally as an atom, is made inside of exploding stars. We're breathing stardust.
We are stardust.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that's available anytime you want. Anytime you're feeling weird, just go, holy moly, I'm breathing stardust. Stars blew up so that I could breathe, in effect. It wasn't, I'm not saying it's part of the master plan, although maybe it was, I don't know.
I think that should be your first line in the course. We are stardust.
Yeah. It's so true.
It's true.
All right. So now let's move into the deep end of the pool. Okay, drum roll. How about recognizing good qualities in yourself? Ahem. That one's tougher, isn't it?
Yeah, really hard.
Recognizing good qualities in yourself, A, recognizing them as facts, and then B, allowing the recognition to become an appropriate, deserved, legitimate, positive experience. Aha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, but then you made some comment about having it in another person, like to
yeah.
make it easier to
yeah.
see in oneself. So I'm making an announcement here. I'm looking for my next life partner, and I decided what would it look like if I endowed that some of those qualities in that person.
Oh.
Cool. You know, that's I had
great.
A really good time.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Good. Well, that's resourceful. You know, playing with it, doing different things. Just one variant on this, if it's hard for you, is imagine perhaps that you're being held by fill in the blank, a very loving being, maybe an actual person in your life, or maybe a spiritual being, you know, the Mother Mary, if that's meaningful, or Tara, the goddess of compassion, if that's meaningful in Buddhism, and then that person is telling you about your own good qualities. Or imagine a committee of dear friends. I'd have Daniel on my personal committee telling you about your own good qualities, you know. That's another way to do it. So, other people, how was that for you? Yeah.
Well, I'll share an experience. So, I've lived with a chronic condition for 48 years mm-hmm. and then was diagnosed with another one a year ago. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, the first one is challenging enough. I'm on an insulin pump, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. But I think in meeting the standards of the medical society mm-hmm. had been a very challenging, just a destruction of self-esteem or mm-hmm. self-worth or something mm-hmm. because back then I was the only one. Mm-hmm. I didn't know anybody else and it was the food police and so forth mm-hmm. and so on. So I made great strides in mm-hmm. using that lemon
yeah.
as lemonade. But I never felt, I couldn't recognize the good in my life, taking in the good
yeah.
you know, about myself. I could take some pride in that I overcame the challenges and made them positive and used my life. But then coming into this second one, which is not fatal and will burn itself out, I was in denial for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the last 2 weeks, boom.
Yeah.
Somebody took a 2x4, not literally, and I got it, the denial, and the perfectionism, and blah, blah, blah. And so I sat with the sadness
yeah.
and the grief of not grieving the first one, but, you know, bootstraps to get through but
yeah.
and be normal like everybody else, right?
Yeah.
And it was in that sitting with the sadness and letting the tears wherever I was,
yeah,
and they were coming.
Yeah,
like yeah. I'm in a physical therapy program, and I was on the floor, and they were just rolling in my ears, and I'm like, I can't stop this. I'm not going to. I'm going to be with the movement. But in all of that, what came out of it was my good qualities that got me as far as I am.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's
and
great.
So it was the first time I was actually able to say, "You are a really cool person." Mm-hmm. For so many.
Thank you.
So that was the best experience of taking in the good.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Great.
So authenticity and how I understand.
Yeah, that's
versus
fantastic.
Genuineness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you.
Versus genuine?
Yes. Well, Rick once said to me I was genuine but not authentic. And I've been trying to figure that out.
Me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah, I was genuine but not authentic. And it was a purposeful conversation because I went to you as a teacher.
Yeah. I remember it really well, Rick, don't you?
No, it's okay. It's really okay because it really led me on this path.
Yeah.
Authentic to me is accepting myself as an equal to every other sentient being on this planet with all the good and the suffering, and allowing myself to not appear to be perfect.
Right. Mm. Yeah. I followed the distinction I was making in my mind, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was helpful for you.
Oh, it was such a joyful moment to finally get it.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad. Thank you.
Thank you.
How about Kathy? Did you? And then maybe we'll do this one, and then we'll keep going.
There's a quote, I don't know exactly, it's E.E. Cummings, but something about you don't know you're worthwhile until someone tells you or something to that effect.
Oops.
Things were being said, they still weren't going in to, it's a shift for, to, and then I changed the quote to, you know, I cannot do that until I accept, or not just accept, until I take it in and see it, and I had to write things down to kind of, oh yeah, I am that, because it just didn't go in, but so the combination of being loved and nurtured, taking that in, and believing it, being it, being, and it's a person that only tells the truth that was doing this. It's not a person that ever lies. So I knew it must be true.
There you go.
It was that person's observation. So,
yeah.
But I had to make that shift. And seeing if I had thought years ago, I couldn't even come up with, I don't think I could come up with many qualities. And sitting now, just like, oh, yeah, there's this and this and this, and thinking, that's incredible. Human spirit can shift like that, and it's pretty amazing. I wouldn't, yeah, I'm surprised, but so.
That's great. I find this one, this one here about recognizing your own good qualities so important in practice, and including this fundamental sense, I'm a basically good person, you know, and letting that one really land in with a quality of conviction around it, and then helping it land over time, to really take it in over time. I just want to name that, kind of keep going. But again, that's something that's available to us all the time, much as oxygen is, like, well, wow, stardust is available to us, or awareness is always available to us. You know, when you get it, when it lands, the sense of conviction, I'm a fundamentally decent being, a fundamentally good person, that's also available, always, as an opportunity for a good experience. Okay? If I could, I want to move on, and I want to just name, and you can have it in your handout, the components of an experience. These are different kinds of things that can be taken in, and as it says at the very bottom, some of them are particularly relevant for different people with different situations.
Is that okay?
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure. Good, good. And so, you know, for example, if you're anxious, really focusing on the physical sensations of relaxation or the basic, interoceptive, visceral feedback coming into you that my body's okay right now, I'm all right right now, I'm surviving right now, there's enough oxygen right now. You know, that's really a powerful thing, the body sensations of that, if you're anxious. On the other hand, maybe you have a sense of, self-criticism, you're hard on yourself. Taking in the knowing that's maybe a little more conceptual, it's a view or belief, a thought, if you will. Taking in the thought that you're basically a good person could be particularly valuable there. You know? Okay? So you see the components of experience? Last class I focused on body sensations. This one I focused on emotions. Later classes will focus on other aspects of the, I think of it as almost like tracks in a song, you know, the different tracks of our experience. Okay? The next thing I just want to call out is other ways to create a positive experience. And we can go through this list. I started out with something like 7, and then it became 10. After today, it's 12. I think I'll probably have 20. But I think, how cool that there are all these categorically distinct ways to help ourselves have a positive experience. So I want to name some new ones here. So far, we've talked about, in terms of creating a positive experience, distinct from finding one already, okay, noticing that one's already occurring. We've explored looking for good facts in your current situation, or second in current events, or third in conditions, ongoing conditions, or fourth in your own character. Right? In addition to that, you can look for good facts in your past. There's a bit of a blur between current events and recent past, you know, but find that distinction. Thinking back on your childhood and the pine trees, that would definitely be in your past. Okay, reminiscence. Pardon me. Another one is in your imagination. And this is a tricky one. But I think this is a yellow flag condition, but it can be very valuable to you. Sometimes the truth is there are certain good facts that have never happened. They should have happened. Like, for example, having truly nurturing caregiving as a child. I've known people who just didn't have it. I say, well, someone was nurturing and caregiving, and they went, no, it wasn't there. There were people who were professionally pleasant as I worked my way through the foster care system, but there was nothing that would be remotely parental in its nurturing. And yet it's still valuable for that person to imagine a good fact, to imagine being held in a nurturing way or being talked with or caressed or encouraged or supported in a parental and nurturing way. And the person will do that in their imagination and then let it really sink in. Deep down in the brain, it doesn't know the source of the activated mental state. All it knows is that it's having an experience of feeling parentally, in this example, parentally nurtured. So that, I just want to name it. That's, if all else fails, right, that's available to us to imagine a good fact that was never the case. All right. Maybe I'll just keep going. We'll see a little discussion. Produce good facts. Make good facts happen. You know what I mean? Like if you don't have a car, walk to a meal. That's producing a good fact. If, you know, speak from your heart to someone, that's producing a good fact. Make yourself, reach out to someone with a project you're interested in. Make a good fact happen. I see people in my practice who want to be in a relationship. I'll say, well, what are you doing to get into a relationship? Nothing, all right, at all. I said, well, I'm intending. Great. Trust in God, but tie your camel. All right. Anyway, you haven't? That's an old saying. But anyway, so my point is, produce a good fact. There's a real place for that. Be resourceful. Make good things happen, all right? And then another one that Daniel talked about last week and is to share about good facts with others, celebrate them. And there are different ways to do this. One is just simply to talk about it and to enhance the experience or to bring something to mind, like wasn't it great when we did that or isn't it great that, you know, this is the case. In particular, I want to name a method that Daniel told me about, which I think is fantastic, which is where we share a good fact with someone who mostly just listens, and they really are with us and open to and supportive of us, relishing and being even vulnerable about the good facts and the good experiences we're having about them. So it's kind of a 2-for-1. It's almost a 3-for-1. We're experiencing it, we're sharing it, and we're receiving their accepting, supportive, loving presence, let's say. Great. You want to say more about that method?
What's your name?
Pam.
When you were sharing before, I was moved.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, you know, other people were moved in that. And that was like a little moment there of like, wow, great to make some eye contact and see this. Because you're touching people, mm-hmm. you know, and to really let that in, to know that, rather than it's just my story, mm-hmm. Signifying it, mm-hmm. it's powerful to make that connection.
Yeah.
A lot of times people get shy or think that, I'm not saying you were, but I think people get shy and hesitant, fearful that it's my stuff and I want to, I'm not going to be supported in this.
Yeah.
I was also very moved by him.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
While I was sharing, it was to value all that I've learned, both listening to Rick for a long time, and just one thing, and everything that I've been practicing, but also that what good is it if you've experienced it and you don't share it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also to not worry about what other people are going to think about the sharing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then to notice that you're not worried, and also to notice the way you're touching, I mean, just being authentic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a good thing.
Yeah, thank you. That's right. So it's interesting if you look at this list, and I think I want to name two more that have occurred to me, or you've told me actually already. One is to wish good things for other people, to wish that they have a good experience. I mean, that itself is a good experience, right? That's pretty cool. And then somewhere in my notes was a 12th. It will come to me moment. Yeah, I think if humor actually, now that's great. I think if humor, it crosses these. For example, you can find the humor in the present situation. You can find humor in a recent event. I remember the 12th. The 12th was to reframe your situations and to find a good meaning in it. Like that's a very classic cognitive therapy method to reframe, right? So in a hypothetical, you know, maybe we're bothered by something, but we shift its meaning, right? The facts are still the same, but we shift the meaning of the facts. I think that's a legitimate method. Okay, so what do you think about this idea that there are at least 10, so far I think there are 12 different ways to altogether activate a positive experience, including both noticing one that you're having as well as creating one out of the blue.
I'm not sure this answers your question. Sure. I wanted to add one, and that's sympathetic joy. When we, I think that most people are easily moved by sadness and
great.
Difficult situation. And sometimes that sympathetic joy, you know, we're kind of like,
That's happiness for the good fortune of others.
Oh, sorry.
That's what she means.
Yes. And to be aware
that
maybe you're comparing or I didn't get 2 lollipops or whatever.
Yeah.
And that awareness, you can create sympathetic joy as win-win for both, and I will benefit just from taking in the joy that you had in this experience.
Yeah.
And that's something I try to be mindful of because I don't always do that.
Yeah, that's right.
That can be transformative.
That's real deep, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Happiness at the happiness of others. Yeah. Great.
I heard what you said a little. I mean, I love what you said, but initially I misunderstood you, and maybe that also could be valuable. Because when somebody said crying, it's very easy to cry with them.
Yeah.
But when somebody is happy, it's not so spontaneous, sometimes spontaneously happy to kind of be impacted and join their experience. So I wonder if that can be trained.
To enjoy their experience? I think so, totally.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to join.
Yeah, to join with them.
To be impacted, like have the
To receive it.
And become it.
Yeah.
You see, so if I see somebody crying, I start crying with them in a nanosecond.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So I'm going to use what she just said there, if I could, and to make a broader point, which is, so far, I've primarily focused with you on pleasant experiences. But if you remember the very first class I talked about, what's positive? What's positive is that which leads to happiness, in my definition, happiness and welfare for oneself and often for others too. Okay. Often what we're actually all installing or internalizing is not so much a positive experience, but is a capability. So Anat there is talking about a capability for, in this particular case, right, emotional resonance, receptivity, attunement, joining, that whole kind of empathy territory. And that too is an opportunity to activate that mental state in as rich a way as possible and then help it land, help it sink into your ribs. Do you see the, and I think this actually is a lot of the really important territory of taking the good. That what we're taking in a lot are capabilities, and we're building up strengths inside of various kinds, including this particular one. We're helping, it's like learning a skill. I think of it as learning. To me, this is hyper-learning, in a sense, turbo-learning. That's a good title of my new book. But anyway, maybe not. Okay.
You've gone through a few.
I've gone through about 100 so far. All right, so you see that point? And that's great. So again, you want to ask yourself, what am I trying to help myself learn? That's what this course is really about. What am I trying to help myself learn? Yeah, Lily?
I just wanted to add to what we were all talking about, because shared joy, I mean, in Buddhism, is called mudita, which is something I learned recently in the course. And what that is, and it's help, and I have practiced it, so I know it can be done, but you're conscious of it, because, you know, sometimes maybe you're short of some joy in your own life, but if you practice mudita, which is shared joy, when you get it, you realize, wow, you almost feel guilty because you can, you know, there's joy everywhere.
Yes.
And you know, it's everywhere. And if you can just, you know, take other people's joy and be happy for them, it's like free joy.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not having your own good experience, there's so many
free joy.
Free
joy. No, no. The ultimate book title is, don't you know? No, it's How to Make Money and Lose Weight While You Sleep. Okay? Is that a tip? Okay, keep going. Okay, good. Free joy.
So I just wanted to say that I've learned to practice that, and it's a wonderful thing, because maybe, you know, you're having a hard time in your own life, things aren't going well, but, you know, there's so many people having wonderful experiences, and if you can just open your heart to that, it's wonderful, and it's free. It's like joy, you know.
Right. That's great.
Well,
that's great.
It's available to you to be happy for other people, and I have been practicing it, so I can see it does work. So once you become aware of it, you can practice it.
And to underline a point, then maybe take a couple more, then we'll move to a wrap here, kind of our glide to finish. Try to end on time this time, 11:15. You're taking joy in facts. The fact is the other person's happy, or the fact is the other person has some good facts in their life, or the fact is you have good qualities, or the fact is that good events have happened recently for you. It's about facts. It's really important, especially if the mind, again, goes to obstructions. Mm-hmm. Well, what about other things? Those other things may be true, and this is true. Okay? All right. Kathy?
I've taught school for 4 years, and I teach kids with learning handicaps, and I realize, I was saying to you, that sometimes the last 7 or 8 years of coaching had some learning handicaps about life, that I was, you know, focusing on things that weren't working, and I create materials for kids that help them learn. And it's, you know, the thing of 10,000 repetitions and that. And so I realized I needed to do that with myself, that I wanted to reteach myself. So I created things that I keep in front of me to remind me, things that are pleasant and appealing, and that really, that take kind of the essence of this, and they're available.
Yeah.
What I did, I created them for 7 or 8 years. I make them for myself, and then I put them onto the internet to share with other people. And there are a lot of the things. And so I've spent the last 7 or 8 really working on developing positive, dealing with difficulty, and then shifting into, and then the whole thing is like this. It's called Pocket Perspectives.
Let me play with, if I could.
I tend to be shy. They made them for myself.
No, it's great.
I didn't know other people would relate to them. I've had them on for about a year, and people do. They really do. And they're, like last week, I put on the
Yeah, so let me interrupt just in the interest of time in a very supporting way. How about this? So two things, three things. One, Kathy's made me aware of these for some time. They're fantastic. They really are. And two, if you like, I'm going to send out an email to people with some information and handouts and stuff like that. I can include a link to your site.
Yeah.
So do me a favor, email me your link. And then that goes to my third question here, which is, it's totally your call. So far when I do group emails for this class, I do blind copies so no one sees other people's email address. Sometimes people like knowing the email address of other people in the class. How do you feel about me just simply sending it out en masse so then everyone here has the email address of everyone else here? Okay, good. I'll do that. All right. Moving. So, thanks. And I'll keep going. Good for you to stick your neck out now. Opportunity to take it in. You created a good fact. So, I'm going to use her. Sorry. You created a good fact by sticking your neck out, right? That gives you opportunities to recognize good qualities in yourself and opportunities to take in the experience of other people, including me, being very supportive, right? Yeah. So, that's nice. Okay. Couple key points, then maybe Diane. So
I was just
first
realizing
Diane.
When Annette spoke, uh-huh. That it could be building that capability to acknowledge, oh, I have the ability to empathize. In other words, I don't take it as a given because I have many clients who can't empathize with others in the way that a lot of us respond. And I think, you know, just to acknowledge that one little piece of us that can connect in that way, powerfully, positively, or powerfully, empathetically over sadness,
yeah.
I think that alone is a really cool experience.
That's great.
It can be a very positive thing. Yes.
Yeah, thank you. Like, you're registering a capacity for empathy. Let's say, or a capacity for other positive qualities, like right there. Wow, the empathy process itself can be taken in, and the knowing, oh, I have this capability, can also be taken in. Yeah, a couple. I need to slide to an end here, so I want to make a point or two, and then do a practice with you. If it's okay. Sorry, not. Point one is the appreciation of, oh my gosh, all these positive facts surrounding us. Wow. Breathing stardust, good qualities in our heart, good events in our life. In almost any situation we're in, there's something positive that's available to us as an opportunity to appreciate about it or recognize in it. The beauty in other people, the free joy that's available all the time, because someone out there is happy even if we're not, and we can be happy that they're happy. You know, just like goes on and on and on and on and on. You know, yes, indeed, there are bad facts in the world, as it were, but think of all the amazing good facts out there. And the second point is the power which comes with responsibility that each of us has to see those good facts and help them become good experiences. Well, you have an incredible power, moment by moment by moment, in the mind. It's amazing. Obviously, that power is to be used skillfully, balanced with acceptance and authenticity, and a recognition of where you are in the Goldilocks moment process, okay? But it's fantastic that we have that power. But with it, guess what? Comes incredible responsibility. I can't make you have a good experience. Your mama can't, Obama can't, your mama is Obama, I don't know. No one can make you have a positive experience. Only you can help yourself activate a positive experience. And so it's your responsibility, it's on you. And as we know, because of the way the brain works, the way you exercise that responsibility in terms of activating positive experiences is what will build your brain in the days to come. Okay. All right. So let's talk about the week to come. Week ahead, I suggest that you really focus on, you know, be like a positive sweeper or just looking for positive facts in your world, all right? And then in a daily way, ongoingly, as much as you can, really try to activate positive experiences many times a day, like right now, or walking out of this room in 15 minutes, or driving home, you know, going through your day. Just hear my nagging voice in your head, you know. Turn to the good, turn to the good, receive the good, you know, many, many times. And see what that's like to kind of bring that almost as a spirit. When you forget it, try to bring it up again. You can make a list of good facts in your life. You could, many times a day, notice, maybe every on the hour, ask yourself, how many good things have I noticed in the last hour? Or how many good things could I have noticed in the last hour? You know, weave it into your life. So I really encourage that. Second, to kind of preview next week, be aware of obstructions. We'll talk more about these, but obstructions include generic ones, non-specific ones, like being distractible, kind of swept away, not here, not mindful, being mindless. Another obstruction is not being tuned into the body, into experiencing in its more somatic and emotional aspects. Those are two general ones. And then maybe notice specific obstructions, like being afraid that you'll lose your edge if you start feeling good, or you'll lower your guard if you start feeling good, or somehow it would be sinful or vain or not appropriate.
In denial, because there's still the bad stuff, and
yeah,
you focus on the good. So
right, I'm in denial. How dare I feel good? Children are starving.
Right.
You know.
Or if I feel too good, something bad's going to
Oh, magical thinking.
Oh, yeah.
That's another good one. So we're going to make a little list next week. And I already have one, but you just added one to my list. And it's already a long list, so, of obstructions.
Probably a lot of creativity in this room.
That's right. Around obstructions. That's right. No, what blocks you from doing this?
Okay.
What blocks you from the three steps of taking in the good? What gets in the way? And very often, it's around the first one, the activation phase. That's often where the obstructions intervene. And it's very interesting. Sometimes you'll surface it. You'll realize, oh, wow, I feel guilty about feeling good going back to my mom was depressed, or my brother was in a wheelchair or disabled in some other way. You know, guilt, yeah. Or it's like a cultural value, you know, it's God's will if I feel good. It's not up to me to feel good. Things like that. Anyway, just notice.
Are you equating the activation with the have, the
age? Yeah.
Have? Okay.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. Yeah.
Could you repeat the first one?
First I suggest or obstructions?
First obstruction.
Oh, we'll talk more next week, but I think of obstructions in two categories. The first category is sort of generic. It's not really specific to taking in the good. But in those, is that what you want me to speak to?
The first generic obstruction.
Oh, was being distractible. You know, it's just lost in thought, swept along, busy, busy. It doesn't need to be ADD or anything, just busy, busy, zoom, zoom. Okay. All right. So that's good. And then I thought we could finish with a little practice like we did last time, which goes to helping the brain increasingly abide in its responsive mode, in which it's homeostatic, it's an equilibrium state, you're undisturbed, so that in this equilibrium state, which is natural, it's our home base, the body refuels and repairs itself. And the mind, in terms of our three core needs, to avoid harms, approach rewards, and attach to others, the mind feels that those needs are already basically met. And when the mind feels that, it defaults to a basic mental quality of peacefulness in three words: peace, happiness, and love. Right? So we're just going to go through that again. Right? And I nominate this to you as a core practice. I do it quite often in the morning when I wake up. I locate in my mind a basic sense of peace, and a sense of calm, all rightness, unthreatened. I'm okay. I locate a basic sense of contentment or fullness or happiness, gladness or gratitude or well-being. And I also locate a basic sense of connection, being included, being cared about, and also being loving myself. So then it's kind of, and I think of it a little bit as a football guy. It's like what people do in the locker room before they go out on the field, except this is a more enlightened version of, you know, peace, happiness, love, right? Ready to go. All right, Coach Rick. Okay, not exactly, but you get the gist.
Close enough.
Close enough. Okay, so you want to try it?
Okay,
it's like getting ready to meet the day. Yeah.
Yeah, it's right. Still on the tape, right?
Yeah, it's on. That's right. For public consumption. Okay, well, very private consumption. Okay, so you want to try a little practice? So we move to a close? Good. Coming into being here with yourself. Eyes open or closed as you like. Being present. And as we do this practice in the weeks to come, I'll give fewer and fewer verbal prompts. So, with regard to the first piece, just help yourself in various ways find or open to a sense of things are actually all right now. There's a all rightness in your body, a basic aliveness. You're also in a safe setting. Finding a basic relaxation, ease, and peace. Marinating in peacefulness, extending the experience, absorbing the experience, letting it sink into you as you sink into it. Okay, and then letting peace move more to the background of awareness, and next focusing on a sense of the enoughness of this moment, its fullness, what's coming in that you are receiving moment by moment, so that you truly can afford to experience some basic gladness or gratitude. A basic sense of contentment. Maybe thinking of things in your life these days that naturally bring a sense of happiness, even joy. Opening to, finding, and receiving a basic quality of happiness. might simply be a sense of well-being that you can locate in your mind amidst other things, perhaps heaviness or sorrow or worry or pain. But you truly can locate an island, if you will, of some quality of ease, some place of well-being, and then abide there, sinking into this place of well-being as it sinks into you. And letting happiness move to the background. Third, opening to and finding some sense of connection, feeling connected, feeling included, feeling that you have a friend or that you're cared about. The relationship need not be perfect, but in at least one slice of the pie, you're genuinely cared about. You matter. Opening to this for one being and then maybe numerous beings who truly care about you. Letting yourself feel appreciated or seen, or even cherished and loved. Opening to the experience of I matter to someone, or I'm seen, or I'm valued, or I'm loved. And perhaps already mingling with feeling loved, finding as well your own warm-heartedness, your own kindness, your own good wishes, compassion, caring, your own lovingness. Whether you are feeling loved or whether you are feeling loving, opening here, giving over to love. And to wrap up, finding all three together in the mind as a kind of integrated, connected sense of happiness, peace, and love all together, kind of a sense of homecoming, a condition in which there's no basis for craving, there's no tension, There's no problem. There may be things to deal with, but on the basis of fundamental, undisturbed peace, happiness, and love all together in the mind. Peace, a happiness and love that can include sounds, children busy in the hallways, can include the rest of your day that's coming. It's engaged on the basis of peace, happiness, and love. Okay. On back, perfectly fine to keep experiencing some peace, happiness, and love. So I'll see you next week, where we'll get into more the details of extending and absorbing. Okay? And have a wonderful week.
Thank you.
Yay! So that's the official wrap. Now I'll turn off my recorder.